Thankful that God has blessed us to be able to be here yet again this out of eternity and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's certainly good to see each and every one of you, and I hope that you're thankful to be here. I know certainly that I am, and it's a privilege to be able to worship God and to be with those of like precious faith. I invite you to open your Bibles up and follow along with me. Make sure that what I say is in harmony with God's Word, and I'll do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say. And certainly if you have questions about anything that I say, you can ask me. It doesn't mean that I'll know the answer to everything. Certainly I don't have the answer to everything. But for every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. And I'll certainly do my best to seek to give you a Bible answer for what you ask, which leads me to remind you that this evening we'll be having some questions and answers questions that have been submitted, and I'll do my very best this evening to give a good Bible answer for those, and I hope that you'll plan on being here for that. Some of them have been challenging, required a little bit more digging on some of them, and I appreciate that. So I look forward to looking at those questions this evening. This morning, for just a little while, I want us to look at a topic, if I can get this going. And I'll preface it by saying, we're going to look at when the going gets tough. And certainly I don't have any situation in mind in particular, don't have any event in mind that prompted studying this lesson, but I think it's a lesson that we all need to be reminded of and need to hear. Sometimes we are thrown a curveball in life's way as we're going through this earthly pilgrimage. Sometimes we are dealt things that certainly we didn't see coming, we would not anticipate. And I want us to think about the thought when the going gets tough. Sometimes we are surprised when things are difficult and we really don't know how to deal with things in our personal life or maybe in our workplace or within the church or whatever the case may be. The first thing that I really want us to think about is we don't need to be surprised when things get tough. Now, you heard read in your hearing just a moment ago from Galatians 5, verses 1 through 5, when Paul admonished those of Galatia to stand fast in the Lord. Now, again, we keep in mind the context that Paul is dealing with a group of Christians who are so soon removed, as he points out in chapter 1 and verse 6, from the gospel to be persuaded, to be trying to go back to be justified under the things of the Old Testament law. And Paul is dealing with that in the Galatian letter. But he makes a point for them to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. They were not free under the Old Testament law of Moses. It was considered a yoke of bondage. And Paul is saying, don't go from the liberty that we have in Christ to be enslaved or entangled in the Old Testament law of Moses, that yoke of bondage, but to stand fast in the liberty that Christ hath made us free. And I think we need to be reminded about that. That this side of the cross, that we have the perfect law of liberty, that when we obey the gospel of Christ, God forgives us for everything, but there's going to be obstacles along the way. There's going to be times when the way does get tough and it gets hard and we have roadblocks and obstacles that the devil will put in our path and things that make it very difficult. There's not a doubt in my mind that those who have obeyed the gospel here this morning can relate to the statement of having roadblocks and obstacles in your path. Have you? Have you had a difficult time along life's way in various different avenues or areas in your life? Or has everything been smooth sailing? You've had problems, no doubt. But we've got to be reminded about the fact that it's going to be difficult, but we don't need to be surprised. You know, one of the problems is that when difficulties arise in our life, you know what we try to do? We try to react instead of being proactive. You've heard that before, right? I know we use that probably a lot of times in the workplace. We want to get ready as opposed to being caught off guard. Now, a lot of you that work, you've probably had a lot of trainings If this happens, this is how you react today. I'm sure that Jennifer's probably went through training. If someone comes in to rob the bank, this is what you do, no doubt. Safety protocol and so forth. This is how you respond to that. Mark can relate to that. Being law enforcement, this is how you respond in these types of situations. But, you know, we fail to do that. We fail to prepare ourselves in our Christian walk with the Lord, knowing that the way is going to be tough sometimes, don't we? We know it's going to be difficult. And then when difficulties arise, what happens? Well, we're surprised because you would think that we certainly wasn't expecting it. You would think that we thought all things was going to be smooth sailing. And then along comes a bump in the road, and we lose control and don't know how to react. We've got to be ready about that. And we'll look at a point about that in just a moment. But I want us to notice these references that in light of all that the Bible says about walking with the Lord, there's absolutely no reason why we should be surprised when things get tough. Open your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. And notice what the Lord said beginning with verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever been persecuted for doing right? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Has that ever happened to you? People would say things bad about you because you're standing for truth, because you're walking with the Lord, and they don't like that. Again, don't be surprised when these things happen. The Lord is telling us these things are going to happen. Well, notice the next verse. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God's people have always been persecuted. Let me ask you the question. When the Lord's church was established, as recorded in Acts the 2nd chapter, how long was it before persecution reared its ugly head? How long? Years? Centuries? Decades? I suggest to you, as recorded, it was the very next chapter. The Lord's church was established in Acts chapter 2. Then Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You remember the healing of the lame man. And what happened? Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As Peter taught in Acts chapter 3, then notice, if you will, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 1. Turn there and look at that. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake, they were in the midst of speaking about the Lord, teaching the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Now think about that. The Lord's church was just established in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, Peter begins to preach and to teach, and in the midst of that teaching, the Sadducees came upon them, laid hands on them, put them in prison because they were grieved that they taught about the resurrection. It got physical very quickly, didn't it? Again, the Lord is saying, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He told these things are going to happen. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. Think we ought not be surprised. But yet we are sometimes. Well, I didn't know it was going to be that way. I didn't realize. Now, granted, maybe we didn't realize just how hard things could get at times. But again, the point being, the Lord has already told us how things are going to be. God's people have always been persecuted. The devil will see to that. When you go over to a parallel of that, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and a similar statement is found here in verses 21 and 22. He gives these beatitudes and he adds, or states it in a different way. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice, verse 23, in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. People are going to hate you. They're going to cast your name out as being evil. They're going to separate you from their company. Has that ever happened to you? Co-workers who used to be perhaps your good friends no longer want you to eat lunch with them anymore. People who used to invite you into their company no longer want you to be in the midst of their company anymore. But you know what? It might just be that you're better off if that's the case. Because if people are not going to encourage you and strengthen you, then I suggest to you that you don't need them as a friend. Because they're not a true friend anyway. Rejoice and be glad. The Lord told us things were going to be like that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm sure that you're familiar with verse number 16. But let's read what is leading up to verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 4. Begin with verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Again, don't be surprised. You're going to be tried. But rejoice. There it is, that statement again. Rejoice. Be glad. Exceeding glad. We've seen. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now think about that. Notice verse 4. Happy are you, verse 14 rather. Happy are you. How can I rejoice? How can I be exceeding glad? How can I be happy when I'm persecuted? Because there's better things to come. Because I can suffer and partake in the sufferings of Christ. He suffered too. And I'll never suffer to the extent as our Lord did. Never. And then verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When things get tough, don't be surprised. When things are smooth and things are going easy, that's when we need to take note, right? Somebody just mentioned that to me recently. Don't be surprised when things get difficult along the way. But here's another one I want us to think about. When things get tough, get tougher. Now think about that. Now, I don't mean that to be snide. I don't mean that to be haughty or mean in any way, or degrading in any way. But I remind myself that when things get tough, Donnie, you better get tougher than that. Because the devil won't let up on us. Full problem. And the harder we try, the harder the devil will be at us. I suggest to you that the harder we try in the local work here, the more that we labor in service to God, the more difficult the devil is going to try to make it on us. Don't underestimate Him. He doesn't want us to see us succeed in the work of the Lord. He doesn't want us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. He doesn't want us to grow numerically. He doesn't want the gospel of the Lord to be distributed throughout this community. He doesn't want London, Kentucky to be filled with the doctrine of Christ. He'll make it hard on us in a lot of various different ways. But when it gets tougher, we've got a purpose that will get tougher than what Satan has thrown at us. Notice these verses. These motivate me to be tougher than what the devil can throw at us. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that motivating? And we think that we have so many obstacles and we have so many people that are our enemies, and they're perhaps talking bad about us or trying to tempt us or trying to provoke us to do wrong. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That is a motivating verse. I think it was last Sunday that I said from the pulpit that me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. I hope that you feel that way. Again, I invite you to come with me to the book of Psalm. I know that I've used this in previous lessons, but when I think about persecution, I think about the way getting tough, and I think about the words that David penned in Psalm 3. And I think about the difficulties that he must have faced. You know, David was a man just like we are, a person just like we are, and felt things, felt pain the way we feel pain, and discouragement the way that we feel discouragement, even though he was a man of war and very victorious and fought these battles, and it was the Lord fighting the battles. But he knew about opposition. He knew about trials and circumstances that would befall God's people. And notice what he said, Psalm 3, verse 1. Lord, and he's not asking a question, he's making a statement. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many they are that rise up against me. Have you ever felt that way? Or why is it that so many people are against me? Why is it that it seems like there are so many people that are troubling me? Or, notice verse number 2. Many there be which say, my soul, there is no help for him in God. There's no help for Donnie Oliver. There's no hope for him, people may say. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Can we say the same thing? Even if there were thousands of people who surrounded me, I will not be afraid. Why could he say that? Well, notice the next verse. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto thy people, or unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Does that encourage you? That motivate you? That when things get tough, we need to get tougher. Rely on the Lord and trust in the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 4. I hope you can write these down and reflect on them when the way gets tough. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus overcame the world. We can overcome the world because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's people can say that. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things. You know that passage. I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. Do we believe that? Do we trust in that? So when the way gets tough, we need to get tougher. But here's another one I want us to think about. When the way gets tough, do some remembering. Sometimes we can be a mighty forgetful creature. We forget things too quickly sometimes. But we need to do some remembering when the way gets tough, and we need to remember who it is that we're serving, the great God of the Bible. The God who is with His people from the Old Testament through the New Testament. That's who we're serving. The same God. Sometimes we forget about that. And we think that somehow God has lost concern for His people along the way. That's not the case. Even down to this present time, God cares about us. He cares about what we're doing this morning. Notice, if you will, 2 Peter 5. Put the chapter on here, so let's see if I can find it for you. 2 Peter 1, begin with verse 5. Notice what he says. As we think about, we need to do some remembering. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You're familiar with that, right? He's talking to those who have obtained like precious faith. Verse number 1. And so he's telling them to add these things. Verse 6, unto knowledge temperance, unto temperance patience, unto patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, unto brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and about, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now watch what he says. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. We need to remind some things, remember some things along the way. Both Paul stirred up Timothy by reminding him, as you read in 1 and 2 Timothy, Peter is saying, I'm reminding you about these things because they forget. We forget about things. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, remember what the Lord stated concerning the church at Ephesus? Revelation 2, begin with verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that beholdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. I wonder what the Lord would write to the church at Mill Street today. Or if you're visiting with us wherever you attend, what would the Lord say? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What do you want them to do about it, Lord? They forgot some things. They have left their first love. Notice what he says. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. It means he no longer recognizes them as his people anymore. When the way gets tougher, we need to do some remembering about some things. We need to remember about God. We need to remember our condition before we obey the gospel and how merciful God has been to us. We need to remember the commitment that we made to God that we would serve Him all the days of our life. Not just when it's easy, but when it's difficult and it's hard. And when I personally say, you know what, maybe I should just quit. I need to remember that God doesn't want me to fail. God's made every provision for that. He wants me to go to heaven. Remember 2 Peter 3 verse 9, don't want anybody to perish, but would have the long-suffering to us, not one that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes you and it includes me. Maybe we need to remind ourselves of that when the way gets difficult. Here's another one. Seek God. You know, when things go well, sometimes we are adamant about prayer and we think about, I want to thank God for the good things that I have in my life, but when it gets bad, and it can work both ways. But when it gets bad, we think, I need to work this out on myself and I can do it alone. I don't need God. And we fail to even consider what God would have us to do. Or we fail to go to God in prayer. That happened in the book of Joshua chapter 9. They got the children of Israel in some hot water because they failed to seek counsel of the Lord. You go back to that chapter, you see that they made an agreement with the Gibeonites because they took them at their word. They thought, here are these people who have disguised themselves. They are on a long journey and they felt sorry for them maybe. Spared them, made a league with them. But you read the chapter and their problem was they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They didn't seek God in the matter. They just did it with the information presented And they did it according to their own reason and left God out of the equation. That'd get us in trouble every time, will it not? When we think that we can deal with it the way that we want to deal with it, or I can work this situation out the way that I think it needs to be worked out, but we don't see God. Now, we can do that collectively. We can do that as an individual. My point is we need to see God and include God in every aspect of our life. Everything that we do, we need to seek to do what God would have us to do. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Again, this is going back to the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." You see, the problem is sometimes we don't pray about it. We don't consider going to God in prayer. We don't consider going to His Word to say, well, how would God want me to react in this situation? So-and-so is mistreating me, or how would God have me to respond to them? And we don't go to the book of books to find that. Acts 17, verse 27. That they should seek after the Lord if haply seek Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You know Hebrews 11 and verse 6? Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder for them that what? Diligently seek Him. When the way gets tough, we need to seek God. We need to go to His Word and study it and pray to God. We need to be ready. I mentioned that a moment ago at the beginning of the lesson. There's so many times the case is that we're reacting to situations rather than really being prepared for, well, what if this were to happen? And I understand that sometimes we don't do that because we would have never thought such and such might have happened. Maybe I never experienced it before. Maybe I didn't think about that. And we learn from experience. Maybe we learn from the school of hard knocks. But we need to ask, what if this were to happen? What would I do? We've got to be careful with that, because sometimes we say, if this were to happen, this is what I would... Well, it may be a situation where we would like to know, or we'd like to think that we know how we would respond. Just like Peter, remember, Lord, I'll never deny You. And then he ended up doing the very thing that he said he would not do, and denied the Lord. So we've got to be careful about that. But we do need to ask questions. What would I do in this situation? How would I handle that? And be ready. Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18. We'll not read all of those. But that gives us a nice catalog of ways in which to be ready. Right? Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Having our weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. By the way, do we know how to use that weapon? So we can withstand all the fiery darts of the devil and we can overcome? We're not going to know how to use our weapon if we don't practice it, if we don't know it, if we don't study it. We need to become proficient in it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about the Word of God. What did he say about it? It's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a powerful weapon that we have. We need to be armed with it, equipped with it, so we can be ready to be able to withstand when the way gets tough. How is it in your life right now? Tough? Having a difficult time? I hope these things help. A couple more and we'll close the lesson. We need to be vigilant. I told you, we pointed out the fact, the beginning of the lesson, we don't need to be surprised in light of what the Bible said about it. We need to be vigilant. We know that. We have an adversary. And yet sometimes we make a league, or we make friendship with the devil. We make friends with the world and expect that all things are going to be acceptable before God. I learned long ago that you can't trust the world. The world doesn't always say what's in the best interest, your concerns and your well-being at heart. Maybe you've learned that the hard way. But I've seen in the world people who are not interested in doing what's right, steal, thieve, lie, cheat. Those things don't mean anything to people in the world that are not spiritually minded. Don't care about things like that. Turn on your news and see. You think that we perhaps don't need God, turn on the news and watch it. And it convinces you really quick, yes, we need God. In a really bad way. Be vigilant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 talks about being vigilant or watching. Because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. That word devour, by the way, comes from a Greek word that means to swallow up completely. To swallow up, to consume, totally consume. That's what the devil wants to do with you and me. Are we watchful? Are we vigilant about that? Notice, if you will, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching, that's being vigilant thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When the way gets tough, we need to be vigilant and watch and recognize what's going on. You know why so many times people are faced with obstacles and they succumb to the temptation of the obstacle? They didn't pay attention to what was going on. Caught them off guard. Didn't think about it. They kind of went into the situation with their eyes wide shut instead of open. Just wasn't vigilant. Not realizing that the devil wants us to fail, and he's going to lay some hard things before us in our personal life or whatever it may be, or throw some things at the congregation that catch us off guard. My point is, when the way gets tough, be vigilant. Pray to God about it and seek His will. Consider the consequences. Ever hear that saying, for every action, there's a reaction? Remember that? There's consequences for every decision that we make. We may not think of it that way, but there are. Some good, some bad. But consider the consequences. If I fail to do what God would have me to do, it gets tough, I throw my hands up in there and say, I quit. I give up. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. We used last week talking about the prodigal son. Remember that? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's eternal consequences. Romans chapter 14, 10 through 12 talks about that. They will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of all to the things that we have done. Revelation 3, verse 5. And Revelation 20, 11 through 15, again, eternal consequences be removed from the book of life, blotted out of that book, cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. I don't want to go there, do you? There's eternal consequences to what we do. Sometimes we make decisions as if there will never be a consequence to it. As in, it will never adversely affect me, that it will never have any bearing on my standing before the Lord. But it will. And lastly, consider the rewards. When the way gets tough, consider the rewards. I don't know how long I'm going to live. It could very well be the case that tomorrow you go back and listen to this recording and you listen to it because it was Donnie Oliver's last sermon he ever preached. I don't know. It could very well be the situation. Life is short, especially when you can compare it with eternity. When the way gets tough, we need to think about the rewards that lie ahead. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, one of the greatest invitations in the Bible. Makes a good sermon. Bible invitations. I think maybe I presented that as a Wednesday night invitation a while back. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Remember that? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you tired from life's weight? tired and just worn out, sick and tired of being sick and tired because of the obstacles that the devil has thrown to you? I'm telling you, there is eternal rest with our Lord. John 14, 1 through 6, remember the Lord telling the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." Talks to him about the fact he's gone to prepare a place for them. He'll come back and receive them. If I go and I come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For Hebrews 4, verse number 9, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, where the Bible says, "And there shall we ever be with the Lord." Sums up that thought in verse 18 of that chapter by saying, "Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words." When the way gets tough, think about what lies ahead for the people of God. I can't even possibly fathom and imagine what heaven is going to be like. Can you? We fail in doing that. We don't know what it's going to be like to have no pain, no heartaches, no obstacles anymore. All of those things gone forever. "But he that endureth to the end," the Lord said, "the same shall be saved." Will we endure to the end when the way gets tough? Are we going to get tougher? Are we going to look at Satan and be able to say, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that are of God"? I hope that will. I hope this lesson has helped you as much as it did me in thinking about these things and trying to remind myself that it's going to be difficult. But again, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Perhaps you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you to become one. I'm telling you, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you don't want to go to hell right now, it's a good time to do something about that and obey the gospel. You do that by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins means to have a change of heart that results in a change of action. I'm going to stop doing wrong, begin to do that which is right. The Lord said, "Except you repent, shall likewise perish." Or Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Confess your faith in Christ that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Lord commanded that in Matthew 10:32 and 33. And being baptized for the remission of your sins. Removal or remittal or the remission or the washing away of sins does not happen before baptism, but after. All things are ready. Water's warm. You can change. Be baptized and then put your dry clothes back on. Hardly any inconvenience to you at all. It's a small thing to do in light of the rewards that lie ahead and to have all your sins forgiven. Do you want to do that this morning? We stand at the ready to do that, to help you do that. Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen away, you've turned your back on the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you that the Lord will forgive you those things. You'll be restored to faithfulness. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.